Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house. It's the house He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. Recently, I was speaking with a person about their salvation. They were very concerned about that issue, particularly because they felt like they were not worthy enough to be loved by God, by Jesus. And as I talked to them, and they, every time I would try to reinforce the knowledge that I knew about God's love, they would say, "But I did this. But I did that. How can Jesus love me?" And what kept running through my mind during that conversation was the song that we think of as a children's song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." And I gave them some scripture verses to refer to, and hopefully that person will come to realize the magnitude of God's love. And that's what I want us to look at today, this thing we call the love of God, and see how vast it is and how it impacts our lives if we will allow it. And our text for today is found in Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 14 through 19. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible, off one from the pew rack in front of you, as I read Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep the love of Christ is, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. May God add His blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the studying of His Word." John MacArthur stated in his New Testament commentary on Ephesus, "I do not think that breadth and length and height and depth represent four specific types or categories of love, but they simply suggest its vastness and completeness." And as MacArthur and other commentators have done, we shall take a look this morning at God's love from these different dimensions. And our purpose in doing so is so that we may determine how really vast God's love truly is and what it means for us. Well, how wide is God's love? Probably one of the most quoted verses of Scripture that you all, I'm sure, can quote is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We read in Galatians 3:28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." God doesn't reserve His love for a specific class of people. Now, we know that Israel was His chosen people, but by the same token, He welcomed Jews as well as Gentiles. Greek, slave, free, it didn't matter. As long as you believed and had faith. Race, gender, and social status all lose their place when it comes to one's standing before God. God loves all people. God wants everybody to come to know Him. We, on the other hand, show our love for people, the extent of our love for people, many times by the way we treat people of different races and different socioeconomic standing in the community. Jesus says, love your neighbor, yet we, in our prejudice, say, who is our neighbor? We do not like the illustration of that Jesus uses when he relates the parable of the Good Samaritan to teach us the concept of love. The Samaritans was to the Jews someone to be despised, someone unworthy of respect, and the feeling was mutual. Yet we know how the Samaritan acted. And our text today reminds us that God is not exclusive in His love, and therefore neither should we be. In fact, we ought to be rooted and grounded in love, and God's love should be at the core of our Christian faith. It should overflow into everything we do. People should be able to look at us, to see us, to deal with us as in a business situation, in social situations, in church relationships, and say, that person is a Christian. That person is a believer. That person is a follower of Jesus. His love should overflow into everything we do. We must remember when we're treating other people, when we're dealing with other people, we must remember that God loved us despite of us. And that's how we should love others also. What is the length of God's love? Someone has said that it stretches from eternity to eternity. And we know in Romans that Paul wrote to the church at Rome that neither the present nor the future can separate us from God's love. In fact, the Bible, God's Word, tells us that God is love. From Hebrews, we learn Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God does not change. His love for us does not change. His love will not be exhausted. He loves us all, the billions of us who inhabit this planet called Earth. And that love does not waver one bit. Through Jeremiah the prophet, God told the nation of Israel, I have blessed you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And if we look at a Hebrew dictionary, the word everlasting in Hebrew, that word means antiquity, it means long-standing, it means futuristic. In other words, it means God's love lasts forever. We know that people in hell will not experience a relationship with God after they leave this earth. Yet, I agree with one pastor who stated that it's possible that God's love will not be absent from them in the sense that maybe they'll know deeply and be tormented excruciatingly forever by the realization that God loves them and they rejected Him. Hell will be a prison and a reminder to those there of everything they could have had in God. And it'll be a reminder of everything they lost by not serving God. But those, however, who place their faith in Jesus will realize that God's love is a reality. And it's a reality to be experienced from this moment forward forever. And we can do that. And we know how to do that. accept that gift, that greatest gift that he gave, the gift of salvation, by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Well, how high is God's love? You know, the psalmist sings, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens." And each of us, I'm sure, has a little bit of a different take on what that means, what that actual statement means, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to heaven." And we may not be able to understand it completely, but it helps us to encompass and to express the fact that God's love is vast. God's love is limitless. We experience it when we are saved, and spiritually speaking, once we are saved, we are no longer of this lowly earth. We are now citizens of heaven, and we have this made possible for us only by the great love of God, the heights of which we've only just begun to experience. Well, how deep is God's love? And what does depth mean? I think there are two possible meanings to depth as it applies to God's love. Perhaps depth refers to God's love being with us even through the most difficult of situations. Because God said he would not forsake us nor leave us. Romans 8:35-39, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Listen to what Paul concludes at the end of this passage. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." How comforting. What a great message just found in those four verses. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. In this short passage, there's a summary of just about every means by which we could face personal adversity. Hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, by war. Yet Paul states, "I believe that nothing can separate us from God's love." As you know, when we were sinners, Jesus died for us. So perhaps the depth of God's love refers to God's love reaching to the most desperate of sinners, of whom Paul says he was the chief. Jesus did not die for us when we were considered, quote, good, quote. He died for us while we were still sinners. And this fact demonstrates that God loves us. It shows the great depths to which God was willing to stoop in order to salvage us from our own creation, our own life of sin. If you doubted God loved you, read his word. Listen where it says that he gave his only son to die for me and you, sinners. Not because we were so good, not because we had done so much to earn his love. He did it when we were sinners because he loved us. This verse 19 of our text, if you look at it again, if you still have your Bibles open, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It seems to indicate we can know God's love, which surpasses knowledge. Well, how is that possible? You know, how can we know what God knows? We can't unless we are God. We would have to be God to know what He knows. Yet, we do have an opportunity to experience God's love, even though we shall never truly figure it out. In the New Living Translation, I like the way it translates at verse 19. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. How do we experience the love of God? The only way to truly do that is for Jesus to become the center of our lives. Not power, not money, not fame, not stuff that we accumulate, but Jesus to become the center of our lives. If we are rooted and established in love, as verse 17 says, we can comprehend God's love. We do have that opportunity. Love is a soil from which we gain nourishment for our spiritual growth. It's a foundation upon which we should build our lives. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Are you experiencing the love of God today? Are you rooted and established in God's love? Well, let me tell you this. You can be rooted and established in God's love by, number one, giving your life to Jesus. You'll never experience God's love if you do not open yourself up to do so and allow Jesus to come in. He's not going to break the door down. He's going to knock on the door. And He's waiting for you to invite Him in. He gives you that choice. He gives you that free will. But if you don't do that, you will never be rooted and established in God's love. You do that by studying His Word. You learn His commands. You learn His teachings. You learn what you need to do to allow Him to come into your life. You talk to other believers. You talk to others who are followers of Christ. Say, what do I need to do? And they will help you. Talk to the pastor. But you've got to let Jesus become the center of your life. Open up to Him and allow Him to dwell within you. You can become rooted and established in God's Word by asking God to help you love Him and to love others. Notice I added "and others." Often, we think we are following Christ. We think we are children of His because we say we love God. But then our actions towards other people, as I mentioned earlier, demonstrate that we don't love others. And if we don't love others, we're not filled with God's love. It's not rooted and established in us. And we need to pray. Love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which only God can produce in our life. But we must cooperate. If we fight that, if we fight the Holy Spirit, if we ally ourselves with the devil, then God will say, that's your choice. I gave you a free will. I gave you a choice. I'm available, but I'm not going to force myself on you. We need to pray to Him to come into our life, to dwell within us. And third, you can become rooted and established in God's love by asking God to help you gain a better grasp of how much He truly loves you. And you do that by Bible study and prayer. because the Bible is replete with examples of how much God loves us, and through talking with Him, through our prayers, we will learn how much He loves us. He will answer our prayers in accordance with our best interests. So if you are here today and you don't know the love of being a child of God, but you've been touched by the Holy Spirit and you feel that you want to be established and rooted in God's love, you want Jesus as the center of your life, at the core of your being, it's so simple. You just come forward and acknowledge that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You accept that gift of salvation that was offered to us over 2,000 years ago. And you say, "Yes, Lord, I accept you. I'll talk with you about it. And if you're inclined to become a member of this body of believers, I'll talk to you about that also." But come as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 291. And again, we invite you to stand as we sing.